Today with Clare Byrne on RTE Radio 1.
Now, maybe you don't even notice it. Maybe you're resigned to it because of your family history. But while hair loss doesn't typically cause pain, it can be a source of deep embarrassment for men and women alike. And if you're someone who's struggling with this issue, our resident dermatologist, Dr. Rosemary Coleman, is with me now to talk about the causes and the remedies. And if you have questions, 51551 is the text number. Good morning to you, Rosemary.
Good morning, Claire.
Thank you very much. Let's talk a little bit about what hair is, what its function is. It's an extension of our skin, is it not?
Well, yes. It's a proteinaceous keratin structure that I think it's designed to keep us warm and beautiful.
And alopecia, then. Let's get straight to the problems that people are facing. What is it and what causes it?
So alopecia is a term that incites a lot of fear in people when they hear the word. And it simply means hair loss. So alopecia could be if one child pulls the other child's hair in the playground and they get a little bald patch. That's alopecia. Alopecia could also be when a person is going bald because their parents or their mother was bald before them, etc., had hair loss. That's alopecia. So we have many, many causes of alopecia. The most common probably being genetic when it runs in families. And of course, it can run from the mother or the father to the daughter or the son. And another very common one, which we saw an awful lot of in the last 2 years, would be one called telogen effluvium. This would be most familiar to people after childbirth. Your hair gets lovely and thick in pregnancy when your body is busy growing a baby, so your hair rests, it doesn't shed. And then approximately 50 to 60 days after a severe trauma, be it a physical trauma like childbirth or an illness or a grievance, people often say, I'm suddenly shedding my hair, and they see it all on the bathroom floor, and it's very distressing. That's called telogen effluvium, and we saw a lot of that with COVID.
Okay.
Not only because of the stress of COVID in society, but also the illness of COVID itself caused an awful lot of telogen effluvium. And the great thing is that it'll come back.
And drug causes as well. People who are having treatments for cancer.
Drugs are very common, not only chemotherapy, which would be the one we'd all know, but a lot of immunosuppressive drugs or strong drugs. Again, they're rare causes of, so for any drug, you might rarely see alopecia, but you'll remember the one you see. Other things like autoimmune disorders, thyroid disease. People with autoimmune disorders in the family are more likely to get something called alopecia areata, which is the one people often recognize as the little small pale circles that suddenly appear, pale patches. Or inflammation, things like lupus or lichen planus. And then, of course, we've infections. More common in children would be fungal infections, bacterial in adults, and then rarer causes. So it's terribly common. But there's one important point, Claire, that I must emphasize. Even in a perfectly healthy person with a perfectly healthy head and no genetic history, all of us naturally lose hair with age. So it's the rare person who in their 80s has a thick head of hair. And at the age of 50, we have approximately 50% of the hair follicles we had the day we were born. So it is natural for hair to thin, but that doesn't mean you have to put up with it. And if you started off with thin hair, that could be really quite distressing, even if there's no illness. We can still help that.
You can still help that, even though it happens naturally. And I think
yes.
People will be surprised at that 50% reduction figure that you mentioned there. So maybe talk to us about some of the things that people can do.
Okay, well, as with everything, eating a healthy, well-balanced diet is very important. And that would come before any supplements. But obviously, nutritionally, you want to make sure there's a healthy environment with adequate iron. Take a good multivitamin every day. Make sure your vitamin D levels aren't low, that you have a protein-rich diet. And omega-3s are very good for hair, skin, and nails. They're a great way to make your nails grow thick, much better than shellac. So a good, healthy, well-balanced diet. If you're on any medication, always have that checked out. You could be surprised at which medication is causing a problem. Then if there's a family history, etc., that can be explored. So in terms of ordinary healthy hair, also I'd say Don't over blow dry your hair. I have seen a number of cases where people can get quite addicted to the blow dries. We all like a blow dry, but if they have it two or three times a week, they will often find their hair gets quite brittle and breaks and gets wiry. So be careful
the same
with
for
your blow dry.
Yeah, or any heat treatments will cause
and
that
I
problem.
I was going to say, keep the heat cool. Get the stylist to not pull too hard and keep it cool. Certain hairstyles will cause hair loss. For example, people with black skin, a very common and a lovely hairstyle is cornrows. And because the hair tends to be more spirally, and this is a lovely way to fashion it. But if you pull the hair hard, you get what's called traction alopecia, and you'll see the hairline progressively going back. And that doesn't have to just be in people with skin of color. It can be if you pull your hair into a really tight ponytail or a hair bun all the time, and you have it really tight against the scalp again. It's a hairstyle. You can be putting pressure on the hair follicle, and you can cause scarring and alopecia there.
Right.
So be gentle with your hair.
Let's go to some questions now. Very many, as always, Rosemary, coming in for you. My son developed alopecia areata, I think you called this earlier, didn't you, at 15?
Yes.
And it literally devastated his life. Overnight, he lost everything, from being a bright, happy boy with the world at his feet to a recluse who got panic attacks before going to school. He's 26 now. He's back in college, having dropped out three times. I've tried everything, but we can find no cure. And that's from a listener in Cork. So that is going on now for him for 11 years.
And that is a very sad story. And unfortunately, some people get a very aggressive form of alopecia areata. But to reassure all the listeners who may have it themselves or in the family, that is the rarer, more severe end of the spectrum. The vast majority of people with alopecia areata will get one little patch, it'll regrow, they'll get another patch. Go to the doctor immediately. They will either treat the patient or refer you to a dermatologist. The most common treatment we will use is steroid injections into the scalp. Sometimes we'll even use very light cryotherapy. We can also, in certain situations, use steroids by mouth or injection, but there are a new family of drugs called the JAK inhibitors, which are gaining popularity and in certain individuals will cause a complete regrowth of a head of hair, as indeed are other medications such as minoxidil, which is used a lot for male pattern hair loss. That can be very successful in alopecia areata. But I'm afraid there are a small minority of people who will either lose all of their head hair or indeed all of their head and body hair, alopecia universalis, whereby no matter what we do, we cannot cure it. But a lot of the time we can help or control it.
Okay, so there may be some options for that 26-year-old
man. Go to a dermatologist, yeah.
Anne has been on to us. I'm a celiac with primary Sjogren's syndrome, extreme dry eye and mouth. I also have mild psoriasis, which affects my scalp. In the last year or so, Anne's hair has started to thin a lot and she's got a bald patch now on her scalp. She's in her 60s and wants to know, do you have any suggestions for her?
Yes, and I'm afraid, Claire, I know I often give this answer, but Anne needs to see a dermatologist. She's a complicated patient. She has an autoimmune disorder and she has psoriasis. So the psoriasis itself will not thin the hair once we control it and the scalp isn't too inflamed. But she may now have developed, because she has an autoimmune disorder, she may have developed an autoimmune type of alopecia and we might have to biopsy that. So you couldn't diagnose that over the phone other than to say, please attend one of us. I'm sure we can help.
I have another one here from a listener who tells us that she is a 56-year-old woman in her late 40s. Her hair started to recede. And at this point, I only have some hair left on the back of my head. I attended a dermatologist some years ago who diagnosed frontal fibrosing alopecia. I'm a professional who interfaces with the general public on a daily basis. And this has had a devastating effect on my confidence and my finances. And she outlines the implications of this. So for two hair pieces a year, she's paying 1,350. So that's 2,700 a year. Monthly refusions costing €110 each. That's over €1,000. Less the PRSI rebate for the one hairpiece, that's 800 she gets back. So the total cost is €3,220 a year. And her question is, are there any alternative options? Would a hair transplant work? Is Rosemary aware of the costs of a transplant for someone who only has a small amount of their own hair left? She says, I dread the day when I cannot afford this luxury.
And again, it just shows you how devastating hair loss is. And again, it's a very common disorder we're seeing nowadays, frontal fibrosing alopecia. This condition is almost epidemic, Claire. It appeared first in the late 90s, whereby it was a very rare disorder, and we are now seeing a few cases a day. And it's where there is inflammation along the frontal hairline, often associated with loss of the outer half of the eyebrows, or indeed the entire eyebrow, together with, in some people, little lumps and bumps, facial papules all over the face. There is a wealth of research going into this because we do not know what causes it. And the question is there some chemical that is increased in our environment? It does cause scarring alopecia, which means when the hair follicle is gone, it's gone. So we like to try and treat it as early as possible. The trouble is we don't have a cure. We have about 10 different drugs that we use until we find the right one. I don't know if you said refusion. I don't know if you mean monthly infusions. And I don't know who's doing that because I have not heard of any monthly infusion that could help this unless it's coming via a dermatologist. And I still don't know what that is. So I would caution about going to people who I don't even want to mention because I don't want to take anything personally against anyone. I would caution about going to anybody other than a dermatologist if they say they're a hair expert, because people think they're medically trained and they're spending a fortune going to people for massages, supplements, light treatment, and things that are completely unscientific.
Okay.
She has written down
monthly refusions, and we think that might be
that?
Refusing the hair on the wig. So hair extensions.
Really?
I think so. I think it is planting hair into that wig. That's what I understand from it now.
Grand. So that's good. Once it's not an infusion that somebody, it's like snake oil.
I think it's to do with the hair on the wig.
Also, she should approach the HSE for support if she doesn't have private health insurance, or she should approach VHI, because people with chemotherapy and who have had breast cancer and chemotherapy and hair loss, etc., they are entitled to have, I think it's two hair pieces a year on their health insurance. So she should approach them, and the dermatologist would support her in a letter for that.
And we wish her the very best of luck. Now, I have a listener here who has three children, who has had three children in 10 years. They were all breastfed. The youngest is one and is still being breastfed. My hair is thinning a lot, she says. Anything I can do while I'm still feeding that baby? The problem was still there when I finished feeding the second child.
And again, this telogen effluvium to a degree has become what's called chronic telogen effluvium. If you have the children in close succession, and particularly when we're breastfeeding, that our hair doesn't always have a chance to catch up because she's giving all her nutrients to a little baby. So just make sure she's a very well balanced diet. Make sure she's up on all those nutrients I mentioned. I would expect her hair to recover fully, but if it's not, don't forget this could be unmasking another form of hair loss. Pop into the GP, get her blood work done for all the common disorders associated with hair loss, and if necessary, go to a dermatologist, because it's easy to write something off as, oh, that's just pregnancy and breastfeeding, but you don't actually want to miss that the person has developed another disorder. But obviously, most drugs would not be used during breastfeeding.
Okay, but do ask the GP for the blood work.
Absolutely.
Is the advice.
Yes.
My daughter, says this listener, is 44 and has long hair, but for the past year, the hair isn't growing on one side. It grows, but she loses it really quickly, and the rest of her hair is growing normally. She has a healthy diet.
That's very interesting. I'd be interested to look at the scalp at the base of that hair to see what's going on and what the pattern is. That's quite an unusual history, and indeed to make sure that it's nothing to do with styling. pulling it on one side or breaking it, etc. So, Claire, that's quite an unusual history, I'd have to say.
All right, so that person might need to start with the GP again and perhaps go on from there. Rosemary, thank you very much for joining us today. That's Dr. Rosemary Coleman, consultant dermatologist. And Rosemary will be back with us again. So if you have any questions skin-related for Rosemary, todaycb@rte.ie. Now we'll take a break.
Today with Claire Byrne. Listen back on the RTE Radio Player app.